through the National Forest over Peter's Mountain, but it is a really important stretch, both ecologically and to the community. Another important legal decision that came out was the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals invalidated MVP's biological opinion that was issued by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And the biological opinion impacts a lot of other permits. So they're going to struggle to get their water crossing permits basically without that. They're able to cross some bodies of water, but not all of them. And they do have 500 plus bodies of water to cross still, I believe. So at this point, they are legally able to construct in some parts of the pipeline, but they can't just do it as a whole because it's sort of like fragmented. There are all these places where they can't construct at this point. And I think dozens of groups have called on FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, to issue an official stop work order, which would mean that they couldn't construct at all, and FERC still hasn't done that. So technically, my understanding is that they could still build the pipeline in a few spots. Whether they would do that this year is unclear. They haven't started construction yet, but legally, I believe they still could. So it's sort of an interesting moment for the campaign where it's really up in the air, but they still say that they are going to build this pipeline. MVP says they're going to finish it. So on our end, we have to believe them and we have to be ready. And I think if folks are interested in joining this campaign, they should certainly look us up at Appalachians Against Pipelines and get in touch over Facebook or Instagram. And yeah, I believe there will come a time where we're going to need to be out there fighting the pipeline. So, and we still are in so many ways. But I believe the direct action piece will become more necessary. Perhaps soon, perhaps in months, we just don't know.
I guess one thing I'm wondering is, of course, the best outcome is that the pipeline doesn't get built, but how could that happen beyond just direct action? Or maybe you could walk us through a few different possibilities with direct action without, and how it could get stopped from this point forward.
Sure. I think there's sort of two sides of the coin. I've heard some people say they don't have enough permits, it's taking them too long, right? They're twice over budget, billions of dollars over budget. They're more than 4 years behind schedule. There's no way they'll be able to financially survive. And then on the other side of that coin, I've heard, but most of the pipe is already in the ground. They can't not finish at this point. And I see both of those. I think it does seem like MVP as a company is really struggling. You know, some investors have capped their investments. And I think it is possible that it will reach a moment where it will no longer be financially viable to build this pipeline. And I think delay through direct action could be an important way that that happens. FERC could also stop this pipeline. I believe Joe Biden could also stop this pipeline. I think those seem less likely to me than MVP sort of like floundering in their own incompetence and economic turmoil, just because it has taken high courts to order the pipeline to be stopped, or pieces of the pipeline to be stopped for that to happen. And even that has come far too late most of the time. But I suppose those are a few scenarios that could happen. But I do think they will struggle without this national forest permit and without this water permit. I've heard a completion date of 2024 thrown out there, but that's not from MVP themselves at this point. They're just not even releasing a completion date. But all I know is that once they start working on this pipeline, we will also be back out there stopping them.
The cool vapor kiss of the night feels mist is a friend I know. But a touch of cheek has the paths I seek in a thick fog glow. While the ragsy birds speak a song that urges play with all. As their silhouettes spin with the oak leaf children's earthward fall. I sing all night in startling white. As I dance so young with the lush green clung to our fallen tree.
Oh, thank goodness. yeah, I really appreciate you and all those who are showing up time and time again. And I think that it's so important for us to feel inspired to show up in the ways that you and your comrades have. And I guess I'm wondering, what do you think stops people from getting more involved in these struggles, whether it's for direct action or otherwise, community organizing, that, you know, have nothing to do with a type of direct action that could result in arrest or things like that? What do you think the psychological block is for folks?
That's an interesting question. I think there are a lot of really reasonable reasons I can think of. You know, these projects like this pipeline are just so massive and it feels so impossible to stop it. You know, like in 2018, I was sure that this pipeline would be built by the end of the year. And I think it is really a scary time. There's a lot of doom on the horizon, it feels like. You know, like climate change is looming and we're already feeling some really serious impacts. You know, there's a lot of other really intense threats, the rise of white nationalism, continuous rise of the prison industrial complex. And I think it does seem really scary and really impossible and really like, what is the point of fighting these struggles when the folks and institutions that you are fighting have so much power and so much money and really like a huge military also. But I also think that is one of the reasons that I love talking about the campaign, because it's been really successful, right? Like I said, I was sure this pipeline would be built in the end of 2018, because normally they really just do build these pipelines so quickly. And now it's been more than 4 years, and it really seems like a question to me of whether it will ever be built. So I think I totally understand hesitation, but it is all the more important for more folks to get out there and be involved in these struggles and fights. Because like we've already said, right, power in numbers, the more people there are, the easier it is to win. Not that it'll be easy at all, but the safer we all are as well.
Yeah. I'm wanting to imagine a world without pipelines with you. And what might energy and relation to land look like without them?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've already said it. It's not just a world without pipelines, right? It's a world without all of those things like borders and prisons and colonialism and capitalism and racism and sexism and homophobia and transphobia. And again, just want to highlight land back, return land to Indigenous people. And as a settler, like what the world looks like after that is not really up to me, you know? And I guess I think it's good and important to have a vision for a better world. And I don't think this is what you're doing with this question, but I think often this question is sort of used as a like gotcha question, right? Like, well, if you hate pipelines, what's the alternative? And I think that is a question, right, back to what we just talked about, that stumps people. And they're like, well, I don't really know. I don't have a better alternative. And it is okay and right to stand up and say something is wrong, even if you don't have a perfect solution or vision for the problem, right? Like, we can't let that question bully us into doing nothing, even if we don't have a perfect answer to solving this. And I just feel like there is so much indigenous knowledge, and there are so many innovators of smart and sustainable and equitable technologies waiting for a chance to do good and fix what's wrong, but none of those have $7 billion and a police force and a prison system backing them up. And this little piece of work that we're trying to do is fight back against this horribly destructive bad thing to be able to give a chance to those people who have that knowledge and those good ideas. And I think there really is no perfect solution when it comes to energy, right? Like, all forms of renewable energy are flawed, and certainly the answer isn't for Exxon to build solar panels. And we just can't ever have a short answer to this question. You can't just build the better pipeline or reroute, because it's not about a better route. Any technology change or sustainable technology that's happening within this context of colonial capitalism is also going to be violent and bad. And that's why we're always saying no pipelines, but also like none of these other things at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for speaking to that. That particular comment around, well, you know, if you don't want pipelines, how are we going to heat our house, or how are we gonna live our lives? And I think that blocks our creativity and our imagination for a different world. And we're not gonna be able to change everything at once, but I think stopping new extraction projects is necessary. And I don't want us to get stifled by these types of blocks, because we can't figure it all out at once. So yeah, I appreciate you speaking to that. Oh well, Lark, thank you so much for your time, and I just want to ask if there's anything else you may want to share with us.
I would just encourage folks to get involved with struggles happening in their own communities locally, but also definitely check us out, Appalachians Against Pipelines. Like I've said, I think there will come a time where we are calling for folks to come be a part of the campaign, and I hope to see folks here in the mountains.
Thank you for listening to For the Wild podcast. The music featured in this episode was by 40 Million Feet, Alexandra Blakely, Camila Jade, and Cold Mountain Child. For the Wild is created by Ayana Young, Ali Constantine, Erica Ekram, Francesca Glassbell, and Julia Jackson. To support For the Wild, find us on Patreon at patreon.com/forthewild.
KBOO Portland.
KBOO is holding its monthly board of directors meeting live at KBOO Studios on Monday, October 24th, starting at 6 p.m. The public is invited to attend. Due to COVID concerns, masks and proof of vaccination are required for all persons. KBOO is located at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue.